Shalom leYudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Erev Tes, B'Nisan, Parashas Metzorah, Tashin Pei, Dallas, 5784, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, April 16, 2024. You're listening to Phantom Nation, a.k.a. the program, coming to you from a country that Saturday night had to thwart another massacre attempt like October 7, and it cost the country over $1 billion. On Saturday night, Gentiles tried to massacre potentially thousands more Jews by firing tons of explosives through the air from Iran into this one and only tiny Jewish state, which, had these projectiles not been knocked out of the sky, they could have done immense damage and murdered and wounded thousands. Not that official Israel knows how to respond to that in words, if not yet deeds. British Colonel Richard Kemp watched the explosions in the sky. He's a war veteran, and reasoned, this is no test, as some people say. All 150 ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, suicide drones were packed with 46 tons of explosives. And of course, they were fired at random, not at military targets, but into the civilian population. This was a massive act of terrorism. And what is that? It's the indiscriminate murder of people innocent of any error or sin deserving their death. Unfortunately, I have yet to hear official Israel describe Saturday evening as nothing but another example of Muslims who exercise their barbaric urges by making no distinction in war between enemy people's military and their non-combatants. War for them is simply murdering people in the enemy people until the enemy people submits to their religion, which is called Islam. On Saturday night, Israel had to defend itself from the same kind of people who skyjack airliners and fly them into office buildings, and at this very moment continue to torture, humiliate, terrify, rape, abuse, enslave, whatever the accurate number of surviving hostages now, no one knows. And the cost of Saturday evening, of protecting Jewish people from another massacre, was more than $1 billion. In armaments alone, by the way, never mind the price of jet fuel. It was an amazing performance. Real Star Wars stuff. And the scuttlebutt is that our military inventors are working on ray guns, a.k.a. laser weapons, which will be as lethal as the current ammunition, only costing peanuts. The question on everyone's mind is, what will Israel do? And doing nothing is the advice of anti-Jews, like David Cameron, British Foreign Secretary, who recently threatened Israel with a European-wide boycott, the B in the BDS hate campaign. Cameron said on Saturday night that Iran's attack was disproportionate. For those who don't know, this is textbook, routine BBC speaking. It's their anti-Jewism. Every time Israel hits back at the savages, Israel is accused of overdoing it, in effect, you know, being just sadistic in their reprisal, and unnecessarily so. Quote, you know, these Jews just can't control their desire to cause pain to the ancient Palestinians. It is disgusting that this British Foreign Secretary describes what the Iranians did as disproportionate when it was another attempt at the mass murder of Jews. This was attempted murder of unsuspecting, potentially thousands of Jews in their beds. And that he judges what Iran did as disproportionate to the offense, which was Israel bombing that building in Lebanon containing seven of the most dangerous Iranians in the world, because Israel demolished that structure with those seven men inside. Iran claims it was consular property, the Iranians therefore sovereign territory, the Iranians therefore attempted, in addition to October 7, another monstrous satanic slaughter of Jews. So now Israel is resolved to respond to this attempted massacre, potentially on a par with October 7 in terms of human life, but also massive destruction of buildings and infrastructure. Such repellent characters as David Cameron, of course, counsel Israel not to respond, which sort of resonates with the Christian image of Jesus dragging the cross and never resisting, never deciding to attack a centurion in the knowledge he's going to die anyway. Israel must speak with respect for friendly and supportive Christians who believe in turning the other cheek. But that's not Jewish. Our proto-Messiah David was constantly warring against enemy neighbors. Those who counsel Israel to do nothing in return are not friends of Israel. And so what should Israel do? Here's an English friend of Israel, as opposed to Cameron, Colonel Richard Kemp, who said Israel's response must be, quote, devastating and disproportionate, whew, as he uses the term. Quote, this is the opportunity for Israel to decisively deter Iran from any further violence via, quote, heavy attacks against multiple high-value targets. Indeed, the behavior of the Iranians on Saturday night cost the little country here a lot of money. And so Israel has the right to do $1 billion worth of damage in Iran. And of course, not at random, but intended to cripple this country in a serious way. Though I prefer an even more severe response. I would like to see some evening, in prime time, in the major capitals of the world, the Prime Minister of Israel address the planet and describe Iran as a government of conscienceless, barbaric, lunatic, anti-Semitic, antediluvian murderers, hated by its own people, who just attempted another October 7 in the Holy Land of the Jewish people, and even worse. Therefore, official Israel is not prepared to let them try it again. In fact, Iran has already said that if Israel responds, the next time Iran's barrage will be much worse. And as the prime minister speaks, he should say a precision-guided bomb is on the way from Israel to the city in Iran called Qom. It's the religious center of these maniacal, homicidal Muslim priests. It's a bomb, he should say, that is armed with a nuclear warhead that will obliterate that city, with all its Shiite shrines and mosques and libraries and treasures. And if Iran responds in any way and orders its tentacle in Lebanon, Hezbollah, to launch its massive arsenal of rockets at Israel, a second nuclear device will vaporize Tehran. And Iran, as we know it, will enter the catacombs of history as a forgotten people, as forgotten as the Persian Empire. Lasted a mere 200 and some years and then went out of business in the year 331 BCE. A culture whose religion no longer exists, whose language no longer exists. The PM might announce that any barrage of rockets out of Lebanon at Israel will likely do terrible damage in lives and property to us, but we Jews will survive, revive, and rebuild when Iran, as we know it, will go the way of the Persian Empire, a forgotten people. We Jews are under no obligation to wait for the enemy's next attempt at murdering thousands more Jews. And that was Daniel Javiel, violinist and composer. Yesterday on the JNS site, Ruti Bloom reported on an interview on Politically Correct TV Channel 12 with the former head of the GSS, Nadav Algeman, who shed no light on the failure of the GSS and other agencies to see October 7 coming. Not surprisingly, he blamed Netanyahu. And never mind, it was Bibi who appointed him to the job. Now out of office, Argimon has been a major mouthpiece for the anti-judicial reform Ehud Barakian mobsters. Argimon was one of the squawkers that Bibi would be a dictator. Well, as head of the GSS, he was not tasked with brilliance when it comes to the behavior of a Supreme Court in a liberal democracy, only responsible for keeping track of the Arabs and their would-be Jew killers. Though in this interview, he evidently exposed a shocking misreading of the enemy, in particular Yossi Beilin's Palestinian Authority. In a recent address to the INSS Milquetoast think tank, he said, quote, "The Palestinian Authority is not a body that encourages terrorism. It is certainly not a terrorist organization. The PA sees itself as living next to Israel," close quote, to which I say, good Lord, heaven help us. This post-religious Israeli, all of them really are, intolerably obtuse when it comes to the personality and character of the Arabs here who in 76 years have never stopped murdering us and celebrating their murderers as heroic soldiers. I can only wonder what he knows of the founding of Fatah by 8 graduates of the Muslim Brotherhood Youth Group, headed by Arafat's father. He headed the clandestine Muslim Brotherhood in Mandatory Palestine, and Arafat and the others all grew up in that organization. They argued when they came together in 1959, those 8, over the name of their group. They wanted to have something, some of them wanted to have something political, in imitation of Algeria's terrorist National Liberation Front at the time. The other half wanted something Islamic, and they settled on Fatah, meaning conquest of the infidel in this context, a chapter heading in the Quran, which the politicos in the 8 could see as a reverse acronym of Palestine Liberation Organization, satisfying both camps. Even the insufferable anti-Jew Jew LTF Little Tommy Friedman of the New York Times in his book reported that Arafat was a practicing Muslim. In other words, he was not the secular nationalist that Peres Nabin thought. The Judaized Israelis like Argamon likely was raised in the public schools in which in every class there were only Jews. In growing up, he was as much of a resident of a ghetto as any Haredi kid in B'nai B'lak. And as a post-Jewish Israeli, he had no education in the history of the Jewish people in Islam over 14 centuries, no education as to the contents of the Quran, no personal lived experience of dealing with anti-Semites. To such Israelis, when you say anti-Semite, they associate to goose-stepping, Heil-Hitlering Nazis, and never to Muslim countries where the Jews were always oppressed and humiliated in varying magnitudes, depending upon the personality of the reigning Muslim authority. As in Christendom, where the laity and its political and economic elite could find a Jewish community useful, the hatred was always stirred up by the clergy. Israelis like Nadav Argamon, probably angling for a seat in some party's list to become an MK himself someday, they live in a dangerous dream world, which I think contributed to October 7th. They shun any negative thoughts about what they call the Palestinians, no longer calling them the Arabs, as their parents and grandparents used to call them, and certainly never call them the Muslims, which is what they really are, practitioners of a fake version of Judaism that is fueled by a monstrous, murderous envy of Jews whose culture they covet. PMW just today posted the following, quote, "An official PA TV reporter in Nablus said there are rabbis who permit poisoning water wells," close quote. Welcome to the 14th century. Another senior PA official, the director of the PLO Commission of Prisoners Affairs, Mr. Kadura Fares, wondered what would happen if the international community knew how the occupation is killing our prisoners. and how the Israeli civil institutions and government ministries are serving the occupation's fascism by carrying out its demands and plans, and also how the skins of the martyrs and prisoners and their organs are being stolen by the authorities, close quote. You got that? The remains of a Muslim prisoner likely killed in prison by the Jews. His body is raided for its organs to be sold. With whom we are dealing, that Israeli is like not of Argimon, and really the whole of the political elite, turn away from. Argimon, former head of GSS, thinks the PA, which is nothing but the horrible Fatah gang in disguise, they just want to live in peace next to Israel, which calls to mind the first analyses of the dreadful collapse of Israeli defense on October 7. And there was a unanimity of opinion, starting with the prime minister on October 6th, but including the Mossad and the IDF intelligence, that Hamas had turned its back on violence against Israel and was content to focus on communal concerns within the Strip. This was nothing but wishful thinking by a whole ruling class in Israel, incapable of facing the truth of Zionism as a failure, if it was meant to not only create a Jewish state, but a normal one not subject to anti-Semitism precisely because it was normal. What Zionism inadvertently did was jump from the frying pan into the fire, the frying pan of Europe into the fire of Islam. Zionism was largely a European phenomenon whose proponents never reckoned on how the surrounding peoples here would react to the Zionists' resurrection of the barren ancient Jewish homeland, never lived in and developed by Muslims. Many deluded their ignorant selves a century ago that since Islam was absent a deicide charge, it was not hostile to Judaism like Christianity. This ignorance is on display in a basic text of Zionism of over a century ago, Herzl's second book, Old New Land, in which he fantasizes a friendly relationship between Muslims and the Jews in the born-again Jewish commonwealth. Hence our prime minister, who fantasizes a born-again Gaza in which the locals will no longer teach their school children to hate and aspire to murder Jews. That would be a Gaza Strip barren of all presence of Islam as it exists today. Is there any Israeli more messianic than Bibi when he talks this way? Thank you. And that was pianist David Gurwitz. And you're listening to the program on PhantomNation.com. So yesterday, as promised by clots of anti-Jews on different continents, on both American coasts, we saw these anti-Jews disrupt life for thousands by blocking traffic on the Golden Gate with the permission of the police, it seems, according to the videos, who handled them with tender, loving gentleness instead of angry, violent arrest. They arrested some, but you could see they did it with such slow gentleness, protecting all their rights, as thousands of Americans were trapped in the miles-long traffic jams. These disruptors of order in the public sphere were allowed to obstruct ambulances and fire trucks. And for that, the disruptors deserve serious prison time for endangering life. Instead, they were handled with kid gloves. And of course, the MSM reported the disruptors were pro-Palestinians. When a knowledgeable and responsible MSN would report that there are no Palestinians, this is all verbal camouflage. Not one of these thousands of pro-Palestinians can name one important Palestinian person in history before the rise of the Zionist movement. Not one word about any self-defense that their beloved ancestors engaged in, defending their beloved country from foreigners, as the Jews were besieged by the Assyrians, by the Babylonians, fought the Greeks and the Romans. Not one of these pro-Palestinians knows even one word of that language, this allegedly ancient people, that they spoke in ancient times. No one knows anything of the religion in ancient times of these mythical phantom Palestinians. Not one protester has read one book on the history of the Palestinians, because there is no such book and there never will be. These are not pro-Palestinians that clogged the roads to O'Hare Airport in Chicago and Philadelphia, similar behavior. These are anti-Semites. These are mobs as on fire with Jew hatred as any Nazi rally in Germany in the 1930s. As Nazism was truly the psychopathology of a culture gone mad, so today's fake pro-Palestinians have manifested their Jew hatred by their inhuman coldness toward the Jews on October 7, who endured the tortures of the damned at the hands of these Muslim maniacs. Such blatant refusal to sympathize with the Jewish victims on October 7 reflects a deadness in the soul, similar of Islam, which is a death cult. There is video after October 7 of such as Jeremy Corbyn in England and Rashida Tlaib here, pursued by journalists asking for some sympathy for the victims on October 7 and being refused. Not even one kind word. And that is the spirit of the pro-Palestinians, who made life miserable for thousands of people yesterday. Indeed, incapable of shedding a tear for the Jews subjected to the satanic cruelty of these Muslims inspired by Islam, they rebound and reverse course by accusing Israel of genocide, just like the Nazis, when these disruptors likely also have no accurate understanding of that word. This sympathy for the Muslims in Gaza, who laughed and cheered as the abused and humiliated Jews were dragged into Gaza, this should tell David Cameron and others just who these people are. They pelted the girls with rocks dragged into the Gaza, spit at them, girls and boys dragged on rocky ground. There is a sadism in these Muslims that is perfectly absent from the Jewish people. Are we capable of killing our enemies? Of course. Journalist Ronen Bergman wrote a book on all of Israel's assassinations over the decades, more than 2,000. But never have I ever heard of the kind of sadistic torture of enemies by Jews. There is an abyss between us and them, which requires secular Zionism to admit defeat and stop longing for peace with these people instead of resolving to defend ourselves from them with as much separation as possible, which should include the expulsion of the worst of them. Think of it. Today's allegedly peace-minded Palestinian Authority broadcasts the identical 14th-century lie of Jews poisoning wells, as their media have also reported that October 7 never happened, or that it was the IDF doing the raping. Hashem Yerachem, God have mercy.
לשמח את עצמו בכל הכוח, להתאמץ להרים את עצמו למעלה. כן, נכון, זה קשה, אבל זה משתלם. לשמח את עצמו בהשם, ושלא עשה אני גוי. אוי, 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 צריך לשמח את עצמו בכל הכוח, להתאמץ לא ליפול למטה. כן, נכון, זה קשה, אבל תדע זה כדאי. לשמח את עצמו בהשם ובצדיקים. כן, יש לנו חיים טובים. אוי 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 אוי, תענוג להניח תפילין. אוי, בכל בוקר להתפלל לקדוש ברוך הוא. אוי 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 אוי, להיות עבד של המלך, המלך הגדול. כן, אוי 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 אוי,
and that was Yosef Karduna, his own words, but inspired by his Rebbe, Rebbe Nachman of Breslev. Okay, that's it for this weekly freebie podcast. For those who want three a week, each one costing a minuscule $1.25 each, please subscribe at phantom-nation.com. You might also want to check out what others have called the best book ever on the war against Israel, a literary masterpiece to boot, called Phantom Nation, Inventing the Palestinians as the Obstacle to Peace. Until next week, I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa.